Isolating the video frames, one can see that the thing is turning within 1/30th of a second. Neither reptilians nor mammals move that fast, but most insect creatures can. The greys also have the hypnotic powers of the reptilians, but often serve in subjugation to them. The greys are not the only insectoid race, but they are the most popular and current ufology. There is also an alien that looks very much like a 6 to 7 foot tall praying mantis. These aliens are very loving and foster healing. They are not warlike at all. Other types of aliens include winged humanoids or bird people. These really come under the heading of reptilian because birds are zoologically considered to be reptilians, although they are warm-blooded. Most intelligent reptilian life forms are warm-blooded because the cold-blooded reptilians are not as advanced. There is also a fourth class of alien life that has been theorized. This is an intelligent plant with a cellulose base. I have never heard any reports of this type of life form, but it remains a possibility. There are also the non-physical beings of pure intelligence, which I referred to in my discussion of the Pleiadians. They also act as high council and promote the group consciousness that extends throughout the Pleiadian culture. The reptilians and other advanced life forms likewise have a group consciousness. This faculty seems to be a stage of evolutionary development which ties all the bio-network of a particular race together. Those mentioned above are not the only aliens in the universe, but they are the ones I am familiar with and are also the basic types of life in the galaxy. Next, we will look at how they have colonized Earth. Chapter 14, Colonization. From what I've been told, the Pleiadians did the first genetic engineering of apes into human beings and established the original settlement on Earth. Humans are so close genetically to Pleiadians that they can crossbreed with them without any problems. In fact, we are so close to the Pleiadians that all humans today are probably derived from them. Other races of beings have also stepped in and have genetically engineered the original seed of man to be closer to their own genetic structure. The Caucasian or Aryan races would be the original race fostered by the Pleiadian consciousness. The Oriental race is rumored to be a genetic alteration of the Pleiadians by the greys, insectoid. This could explain why Orientals have slanted eyes and have a worker bee mentality. All of this information is supposition based upon suggestions and informed sources. It should not offend anyone and is not meant to do so. The next race to appear were the Abenaki. They came from the planet Marduk as cited by Sitchin in the 12th planet. They were supposedly a white race that genetically engineered the black race. The purest black race on Earth were known as the Nubians and are considered to be natives of this planet. Their genetic structure was crossed with the Pleiadians to give us the black race that we know today. Marduk was also known as Nemesis or Batmoir in French, meaning black beast. The reptilians from Orion took the Pleiadian seed race and modified it to create the Semitic race. This explains why the Aryan race is sometimes called the master race. The theory is that it was the original blueprint which was doctored to fit the agenda of a particular life form. In addition to the above races, there is also the Native American race. Although most of their legends indicate they come from the Pleiades, this is not actually correct. Their identification with the Pleiades comes from the cultural influence of Atlantis, which was a Pleiadian settlement and the most recent ruling power in their history. The Native Americans are believed to have derived from a being that looked very human but was red-haired and red-bearded and came from the Andromedan galaxy. If you take the above four races and interbreed them, you will have the brown race, which can be considered a mixture of Caucasians, blacks and Orientals or some combination thereof. There are other possibilities as well. Please understand that I am not saying that any one race is more or less intelligent than the others. I am just trying to demonstrate how different alien beings have intervened with mankind to produce the different races of man and the cultural melting pot we have on Earth. The Keys of Enoch by J.J. Huttack indicates that our planet ties its roots to the Elohim, which traces back to the Orion and Pleiadian constellations. I believe this is correct because most of the interference in our history has come out of that sector. This gives a general outline of how the Earth has been colonized. We will now look at some of the motivations and orientations of the different alien groups. Chapter 15, Alien Confederations. In our galaxy, we have three groups or confederations. The terms I will use to describe them were originally channeled by Duncan Cameron from his information source. These groups are the Neverans, the Galactic Confederation, and the Leverans. The Neveran group is really just a name for the Pleiadian Confederation, which we have already discussed. Sometimes considered to be the good guys, they have a strict non-interference directive. The Galactic Confederation parallels the United Nations we have on this planet. It consists of many different groups that got together and formed a confederation of planets. They are pretty much neutral and also have a non-interference directive, which is derived from the Pleiadian Confederation or Neverans but is not as severe. While the Galactic Confederation has a code which allows them to interfere to maintain balance or save one of their own, the Pleiadian non-interference code is absolutely unconditional. Even if the Pleiadians lose a battlecruiser on this planet, they are forbidden from blowing a city away in order to retrieve their cruiser. They would most likely send operatives to destroy the craft and keep it out of other hands. The third group is the Leverans. Duncan actually channeled a long and complicated spelling, but I use the simple phonetic spelling Leveran. The word Leviathan, which can be etymologically traced to the word snake, derived from this group called the Leverans. They represent the archetype of a devil or super-negative being. This is the negative side. They will step on people in order to get what they want and enforce the idea that the end justifies the means. The Leveran Alliance consists of reptilians and Grace, and their leader is from a planet called Draco, which orbits Draco Major in the Orion constellation. That is why the Leverans are sometimes referred to as the Orion Alliance. There is also a group of Pleiadians who tie into the Orion Alliance. They are rebels and fighters, but they are fiercely protective of their other fellow Pleiadians. There are actually three groups of Pleiadians. First are the Aryan Pleiadians, which is where the term Aryan came from. They are philosophers, thinkers and dreamers. Some of them will not fight under any circumstances. The Aldran Pleiadians are doers. They also think well but are oriented towards doing things. This name is also used in the Star Wars movie. They are sort of in between the Aryan philosophers and soldiers, which comprise the third group, the Aldebaran Pleiadians. These are commonly called the negative Pleiadians. They are the ones who contacted Hitler and sent him off to protect and foster the Aryan race. They thought they were protecting their brothers and have been known to take their concerns to extremes. Although the Aldebarans are Pleiadians, they align more with the Orion group. They do not religiously follow the non-interference code of the other Pleiadians and might come to this planet to rescue a Pleiadian from one of the other two groups. I don't know how the Draconians are set up, but there are at least three different versions of them. Some of the Draconian Alliance even appear to be quite human. They are not all reptilian or insectoid in appearance. With the different agendas that have been referred to, it is obvious that there is conflict in the universe. There is the Pleiadian Alliance, which wants no interference of any kind. Then, there is the Galactic Confederation, which wants conditional interference. Finally, there is the Leverans or Orions, who require major interference and want to run the entire show and annex Earth to the Draconian Empire. All of this results in the basic strife we see here, the battle for planet Earth. This weaves its way most subtly into the entire cultural fabric of society. It includes the air we breathe, the food we eat, the vehicles we drive, the money we use, the shows we watch, the music we listen to, the politicians we vote for, and just about everything else. In simple terms, life on Earth is not left to itself and allowed to evolve on its own terms. There is interference and meddling. One group is seeking control over another, and some will not stop at the prospect of using forceful means to accomplish their ends. This brings us to the most sinister way to subjugate the population of Earth: abduction and implants. Chapter 16, Abductions. Most abductions can be classified into one of two groups, alien or government. First, I should clarify that when I say government, I am not referring to our duly elected officials but a secretive and mysterious Illuminati sort of group that functions through all arms of society. Through their own means of conscious and malicious controls over the minds of others, This group infiltrates all levels of the culture but concentrates on power points such as the military, major corporations, and all spheres of influence including the government. It is interesting to point out that quite a few television programs in the mid-1990s have reported on the alien abduction phenomena. It gives one the impression that the truth is coming to the surface. There is a good reason that alien abductions have been given so much airplay. The government does their own abductions and wants you to believe it is all coming from outer space. This sort of charade goes even deeper. Many people who begin to recall the surface memories of actual government abductions instead think they are recalling an alien encounter. A surface memory has been placed over the deeper memory, so you'll think you were abducted by aliens instead of the government. It is most convenient for the government to blame all abductions on aliens. According to some estimates, the government is accountable for most abductions, with the Greys being responsible for approximately 20-30%. Under the category of aliens, we have three classes of abductions: physical, astral and induction. Physical abductions refer to literally taking someone physically, putting them on a table and doing whatever is to be done with them. Astral abductions refer to taking the being or astral soul out of the body and manipulating such by electronic or more subtle means. Induction is when someone astrally enters the realm of another being and goes to work. If this type of manipulation is done on you, it might be something you are not even aware of. Many abductees report being literally pulled through the walls of their house. This is usually a physical abduction because the aliens have technology capable of making you weightless and massless so that you can be pulled through a wall. This can also be an astral phenomena, but my research indicates it is usually physical. Physical abductions usually include the removing of sexual samples. In females, they will usually take out an ovum or egg. In males, they will remove sperm cells. Aliens have also been known to take a biopsy of a testicle in the male or the ovaries in the female. In this case, they cut the skin behind the scrotum and remove the testicles by pulling them out of the sac. There is actually enough tube so that it can be shown to the patient. After hearing this report, I checked with a medical doctor who informed me there is about 40 feet of tube within the scrotum. The sperm cells are actually stored in the tube between the testicles and the prostate gland. Although these reports are primarily based on regressions, there is nothing biologically impossible about the descriptions. In all of these cases, the aliens are definitely taking procreative genetic samplings. There are also operations where samples are taken from the stomach lining of either the male or the female. A big needle is inserted in the navel and a biopsy is taken. If one can obtain what are called the stem cells or primary cells, then one can actually clone the body. These stem cells carry the whole DNA in its primary form. Geneticists are beginning to realize that as primary cells differentiate and replicate into secondary cells, the DNA changes. These primary or stem cells are most commonly found in the stomach, mouth, anal area and other portions of the body which interface with the outside world. The gonadal cells such as the testes or ovaries are also primary cells. They carry the entire genetic code of the organism. All of this suggests that the physical abductions done by the aliens are some sort of genetic research. As so many abductees report having been shown offspring that were half alien and half human, there is really no question someone is attempting to crossbreed the alien genetics with human genetics. One possible reason for this is that the alien race is very old and dying. Over time, their genetics have either atrophied or become distorted to the point where they are now trying to regain the youthful genetics of our race. It is as if they are doing damage control by combining our genes with theirs. All of this suggests that any aliens engaging in such activity have a similar genetic base to ours. Many female abductees remember copulating with a male space person or alien. In these cases, the aliens let the fetus grow for 2 months, some people say 3, whereupon the female is abducted again with the fetus being removed. In these cases, the woman discovers that she is pregnant but has no idea how she became so. 2 months later, the pregnancy disappears. These reports are very common from female abductees around the country. There are at least two possibilities that could have happened in these cases. One is actual fertilization by the alien male as mentioned above. The other alternative possibility is that the initial sampling of the woman is fertilized in a test tube with alien DNA and then placed into the woman's womb for a couple of months. The woman is then abducted again, the fetus being removed as it is now old enough to incubate. It then grows into whatever it is going to be. This latter possibility is corroborated by reports that describe beings that are partially human and partially another life form such as plant-like, reptilian or whatever. Genetic sampling and breeding is not the only purpose of physical abductions. Aliens also do implantation. Sometimes it is a simple matter of putting in a transponder which is in reality a transceiver, a device which both transmits and receives. This receiver is tuned to a certain frequency and is keyed to recognize a certain code. When that code is received by the transponder, it triggers a transmission which enables the aliens to locate you so that they can abduct you again. They have to have a system. If they are taking a woman, implanting her with a fetus and then removing the fetus 2 months later, they have to be able to find that woman when they want. If they are taking genetic samples from men, they have to do the same. In the case of male abductions, semen samples are taken with regularity and not just once. One abductee who underwent therapy to have his abductions stopped was successful in that regard but ended up with a disease caused by excess sperm cells. He was so used to having his seminal tube between the testicles and prostate being cleared out by the aliens that he had never masturbated. This build-up causes the sperm cells to rot after a while and he began to get infections in the scrotum. This was diagnosed by a doctor who taught him to clear his tubes from time to time. Most of the physical abductions are genetic examinations or implantations of some sort. This includes conditioning and programming as well. The implants themselves are usually surgically inserted in the body. They are not simply shot in with a syringe or cruder means. Scars can be found but they are very very thin and are disguised so that you won't find them unless you know what you are looking for. Age lines can masquerade as implant scars, more obvious ones are scoop marks found on the arms, legs or anywhere else on the body. Sometimes a thin thread-like mark will be found along the spine or near the sexual organs. Most of the physical abductions are performed by the grey aliens or government. The government performs all sorts of clandestine medical research through their abductions and then blames it on the aliens. I'm not saying the aliens are good or bad, but it is obvious we are looking at two different agendas when it comes to this subject. The prospect of alien agendas, as we have already discussed, are quite disturbing, but the government's agenda sounds even more frightening. While the government does take some blood samples and whatnot, genetic research has not traditionally been their main area of study. They are primarily into medical research which includes conditioning, implanting and physical implants, silicon chipsets. If you hypnotize a typical abductee, you will soon come to the aliens. This is surface memory. If you take the abductee deeper into the subconscious by using other routines, all of a sudden the aliens will become human beings. They will usually be attired in a recognizable military uniform. There is no conceivable reason that the aliens would implant a memory so deep into the subconscious. If they wanted us to think their abductions were conducted by the military, they would put the false memory of the human abductions in the upper subconscious and not the lower subconscious. There are two levels of technology used for physical abductions. Many times, the aliens will literally take a human out of their car. We knows that the person was actually taken out of the car because upon their return, they find themselves in another location and have to retrieve their car. In these cases, a technology is employed where the human is teleported to and from the spaceship. As they reach or leave a particular destination, they may float along in space before coming to a full stop. The second technology is the government just coming and grabbing or kidnapping someone. If anyone else is in the house, they will be put into an unconscious state. Aliens will also put out people that they don't want, but these instances usually turn out to be government abductions. There are many programs administered under the heading of government abductions. One of the major programs is the abduction of children to program them and then have them develop into a sort of super-secret army force that will activate in the event of national chaos. They are programmed to carry out the agenda of the powers that be, which will fluctuate from time to time but will ultimately be concerned with control. This physical programming by the government is administered with an electroshock system that is very similar to the electroshock machine used in insane asylums. A particularly effective technique they employ will literally electrically stimulate the person to the height of sexuality. Once the subject is excited to the highest point, just before ejaculation in the male and just before the contraction of the vaginal walls in the female, they suspend the state so the person's consciousness and physicality is suspended in an orgasmic state. The mind is in suspension and is technically quite wide open. At that point, all they have to do is pick up a block of memory and put it in. The technology has been developed to where almost any agent can do it. The electroshocking of the person is computer-run and the program is put on a floppy disk which can then be placed into a portable computer. With this advance in technology, the only other thing an agent needs is a diagram to wire the subject up. The agent first subdues the victim in one fashion or another. He then wires him or her up, boots up the computer, puts in the floppy disk and runs the program. The method of moving one block of memory to another and hiding memories is all canned. They also implant thoughts into different sections of the mind. Each time the subject goes into a sexual state, the thought is being programmed through the whole being. Such people are usually programmed to have sex so as to keep the implant active. People who have been sexually programmed in the above manner also transmit whatever information was programmed into them whenever they go into a sexual state. Sexual ecstasy is a rather magnetic and hypnotic state, and it is said to contain magic. In such a state, one partner can transmit to the other according to what was programmed. One can even be subconsciously indoctrinated to control their copulation to the point where they can transmit to the partner without either party being aware of what is going on. A mind meld occurs. Some young men are programmed to such a degree that they can miraculously arouse tremendous desire in a woman. If the programmers want a program spread around, such young men sow their seed around with the programming of the women concerned being the target. In this manner, an ideal program can be inserted into the society on a wholesale basis. It could be as simple a program as buy ABC detergent, vote for this politician, or it could be considerably more complex. In some of these men, the magnetism is working overtime to where they can copulate two or three times a day, sometimes with more than one woman. These men are like incubuses and can have quite a devastating, even if romantic, effect on females. My estimate is that about 10% of the male population under 30 have been programmed in this manner. Conditioning is related to programming, but it is a different procedure. The most common kind of conditioning also uses electroshock. Two electrodes are placed on the sides of the subject's forehead and a picture is placed in front of him or her. The picture is designed to influence the person. Let's say they want to train people to hate the president. They will put the president's face on a screen and shock the subject. After a while, the person is going to react every time he sees a picture of the president or has him brought to mind. He will go into a panic and will learn to hate the president. Conditioning is also used to control a person's behavior. Let's say there is a particular response they don't want someone to have. They will take the subject and do something to trigger that response and then shock them at that exact point. Over time, the person will subconsciously do anything possible to avoid that response. Different and more complex circumstances can easily be conceived, but these are the basic principles of conditioning. The aliens don't have any need for conditioning. In fact, I have never heard of a true alien abduction where electroshock was used. They are not that crude. If they want to influence someone's mind, they have more sophisticated techniques such as astral programming. Astral programming is when they remove the spirit, astral being, or whatever you want to call it. We are talking about the essence of you that is not physical. All of us leave our body at night and astral travel. Some of us are more aware of it than others. Becoming aware in your dreams and actually assuming consciousness in that state is an ancient occult technique and is today popularly referred to as lucid dreaming. True astral travel is when you can leave your body, travel out of the environment and view objective situations and people. Some people can actually get solid enough in the astral plane to where they can appear in physical form. This principle is sometimes used to explain the resurrection of Christ. If one has fully developed this faculty, one can actually bilocate and accomplish tasks in another place. Just as aliens have the capability of taking us away physically, they can also take us out of our body and back to their ship. Astral abductions are actually energetic abductions. Aliens sometimes just want to sample our energy. They might want to sample our patterns or get a readout of our energy body since the last time we were abducted. They also might want to program us so that we will do and say what they want. Astral programming does work and is done all the time. It was and is used quite frequently at Montauk. Astral abductions can be mistaken for the physical abductions because there isn't much difference. Either the astral being is floating out of the body or the body has become weightless and is floating along with the aliens. If you want to know if something was done physically to your body, you can look for scoop marks. Pain is not a good measure because pain can be inflicted astrally. As the government is quite capable of doing physical abductions, they are also capable of working on the astral, but it is not the usual method of operation. They have a psychor which can pull a person out of the body and have a psychic operator mind meld with an abductee and drain the mind of memories. As with the aliens, readouts are done from the last abduction. This is how spies can be read out without even being aware they are spies. At night, a spy is abducted by the Psy Corporation. The mind meld is done and what the spy saw is known and recorded. If they want, they can also abduct the subject physically and do whatever they want. I will later discuss a class of implants that do the same thing, but implants are not capable of interrogating the memory. They can only transmit what our senses are picking up. There are also cases where the aliens and government work together. This is based upon the idea that we have some sort of treaty with the Grace von Rigel. The government hides behind this umbrella at every opportunity. Besides physical and astral abductions, there is also the third class I referred to earlier as induction. This is where they go into your non-physical being and do their readouts and programming. This is different from the astral abductions in that they are coming into you instead of taking you away. I think this is done by a different alien group and one that is more advanced than the Greys. These aliens, probably the reptilians, are able to leave their body just as you are. They are not physical when they enter you and are advanced enough to know how to get into the being during a vulnerable state, cohabit the body with a host and do whatever their work is. The induction can last for seconds, hours or months and appears to be used for the same ends as the physical and astral abductions. To my knowledge, the government has not been successful with this technique. As some people might confuse induction with a walk-in, I want to clarify that phenomenon. A walk-in refers to a spirit coming into a body previously occupied by someone else. It usually happens after a trauma to the original host. Let's say someone was frightened to death and left the body over sheer fear. If the body is still operable, another being comes in and animates it even though it might have been clinically dead for a short while. This is known as a walk-in. Of course, the walk-in could have been generated by the spirit walking in. He could have frightened the original host because he wanted the body. A walk-in may occur in many other instances. Let's say Uncle Hector sexually molested Johnny when he was 7 years old. Johnny found it so terrible that he decided to leave instead of experiencing the molestation. Next thing you know, Johnny is gone. Before Uncle Hector realizes that the body is dead, another being steps in and takes over. The parents then notice tremendous changes in the child. Later on, the parents might find out that Uncle Hector was molesting the child and they chalk up the drastic change to be a result of the abuse. They never considered that Johnny is no longer Johnny but is now Billy. He rapidly learns to respond to the name Johnny and the life that goes with it. A shove in or a force in is yet a different phenomenon. This is where someone forcefully pulls a being out of a body and shoves in another spirit. While there are many elaborate scenarios that can be envisioned, these are the basic civilian and government implants to the best of my knowledge. I have also written more about this subject in my other books concerning the Montauk Project. Chapter 17, Have You Been Abducted?